Psalm 42, you'll notice there is a title to this psalm, to the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Then look ahead with me, if you would. I won't take the time to read the entire psalm, but look at Psalm 63, that psalm that we sang earlier in the service. This one bears a different title. The one we just read is addressed to the sons of Korah. This one is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. The title says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Amen. We'll end our reading in verse 3 of Psalm 63. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. I have a question for you this afternoon as we contemplate this section of God's word. And the question is simply this: how's your spiritual appetite? How is your spiritual appetite? It becomes very apparent, doesn't it, in the Psalms we have read from, that the psalmist here had a very strong appetite for God. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I read words like that with absolute marvel. When shall I come and appear before God? How could anyone be anxious to appear before God unless he had the knowledge that his sins were forgiven? As we have the knowledge that our sins are forgiven in the blood of Christ. Were it not for that, there's no way you would want to appear before God. Indeed, we have the account given to us in the book of Revelation of the rebels against God who want the mountains and the hills to fall upon them and bury them in order for them to avoid appearing before God. But the mark of a person who's been redeemed, the mark of a person who knows his sins are washed away in the blood, is that he does have this desire to appear before God. to know his God. You remember we covered this somewhat a few studies back in our Bridging the Gap series, the difference between knowing about God and knowing God. That is a gap that needs to be bridged. The Bible was never intended simply to impart information to our souls. It serves a spiritual purpose. Its design is to bring us into knowledge and fellowship with Christ our Redeemer, and with God through Christ our Redeemer. We were made for that, you know. Hardwired, you could say. Man in his original creation was made to have fellowship with the God who made him. And of course, you know the story, that privilege was lost. Man fell into sin. He was expelled from the Garden of Eden, and fellowship with God was not the same. Never has been really since then, to the degree that it one day will be again when Christ returns. But in salvation, lost communion is regained. I hope that when you came to Christ, you trusted Christ, you entered into an experiential knowledge of Christ. He became your personal Savior, and not just an academic one. And you long for him, and you've gained some knowledge of him. But as is the case in this present dispensation before Christ returns, there are times when God seems to be so far from us. And we can raise the question, you know, as to why God has forgotten us. We come under that impression at times, don't we? God has forgotten. Some of the Psalms, I reference them as the complaining Psalm, Psalm 73, Psalm 77. Among the complaints raised there is, has God forgotten to be gracious? Do his mercies fail forevermore? The psalmist had just lost the sense of God's presence. His religion was reduced to merely going through the motions. And I must say here that if you can be content in that kind of condition, then you have cause to wonder whether or not you've really gained a saving interest in Christ at all. We've entered into communion with our Savior, and we can't stand it when that communion seems to be absent, as at times it is. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And so I repeat the question again. How is your spiritual appetite? Do you have such an appetite? Can you read these words in the opening verses of Psalm 42 or in the opening verses of Psalm 63? Can you read those words and relate to them in your own experience? Oh Lord, I want thee, I desire thee, I need thee. I have found thee in days gone by, but Lord, it seems like the season has been long in which you have withdrawn yourself. And my soul now is thirsty for thee. Lord, I need thee to return. I want thee to return. Lord, when wilt thou return? Psalm 13 is sometimes referred to as the howling song. It really means the how long song. How long is the oft-repeated phrase there? How long, O Lord, must I endure thine absence? So I want to focus for just a couple of moments this afternoon on this idea of our spiritual appetite. How is your spiritual appetite? Do you have the kind of longing in your soul that is here described? And if you do, the implication behind this verse is that fellowship with God is not being enjoyed. But the implication is also that fellowship has been enjoined. And now there is this intense desire for that fellowship to be restored, for communion, for vitality, to be a part of my walk with the Lord once again. And some of the things that we have to contemplate in dealing with our spiritual appetites is, how is it that we can account for lost communion? What would it be in the case of the psalmist, or more to the point, what would it be in our lives that would bring us to this point where communion is lost? And there are a number of factors that contribute to lost communion with God. One of them, you could say, is spiritual laziness. Look with me, if you would, flip forward a little ways to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. The Song of Solomon is, I think, a key book in the Bible that goes into great detail in describing the intimate communion between husband and wife, or certainly by way of application, between the Lord and his people. Look what it says, beginning in verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. You get the picture here of the Lord himself knocking on the door of our hearts, wanting entrance into our hearts, desiring the communion that ought to be his portion as well as ours. But look at the response, verse 3. I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand in the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. You see here that when it comes to lost appetite, so to speak, for communion, the fault is entirely with the bride. The bridegroom is knocking for entrance, and the response, what it really amounts to, is, I don't want to get out of bed. It's what that response amounts to. And how often is it the case that spiritual laziness is what accounts for lost communion? Thankfully, and this is a lesson we can draw, we will not for long be content in such a state. And the bride evidently was not, because eventually she got it together and did manage to rise and get out of bed and open the door to invite the bride in, but he had withdrawn. So here we find then spiritual laziness, one of the contributing causes to lost communion. Another cause for lost communion would be an increased appetite for other things. An increased appetite for other things other than the Lord. You would look with me in the Old Testament to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. This is in the context now of Israel in the wilderness. They've been delivered from Egypt. Of course, the way, the journey was not easy. There were difficulties they had to confront. But we come now into verse 5 of Numbers chapter 11, and this is the congregation speaking. They say, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. You see how They remembered Egypt, and the ways of the Lord became mundane. The manna that was provided daily became so routine that it was little thought of at all. Brings to mind a point I made this morning. My fear, my dread in my own life and in the lives of my church family, that we can take the blessings of God so much for granted that we practically count them to be insignificant. And in this case, and this is an absolute marvel to me, and it should be to you as well, it should astonish you. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Really? That's what you remember about Egypt? Have you forgotten that you were in bondage? Have you forgotten that you were slaves? Have you forgotten the hard level of work that your taskmasters demanded of you? Have you forgotten that they put your children to death? But they remembered the free meals, evidently, that came with slavery. They had an appetite for other things. My, how often do we become guilty of the same thing? For the things of this world. That's what we love. That's what we have to have. If you look in Matthew's Gospel, chapter on the parables, chapter 13. You look at verse 22. Do I have it down here? Yeah. Christ here is speaking of the various soils in which the seed of his word was sown. And he says, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Here's another thing that leads to spiritual appetite, pretty much in line with what we just illustrated from Numbers chapter 11. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, things that we have a longing for, which if the Lord were to give them to you apart from himself, you would discover that they would turn into gravel in your mouth, so to speak. Oh, we have to have Christ. But here again, it is the deceitfulness of riches, the care of this world, the things that we long for, some things even legitimate, that so dominate our souls more than communion with our Savior dominates our souls, that the word is choked and we become unfruitful. So forgetfulness is certainly a contributing cause. I think of the Israelites in the wilderness, their remembrance of the blessings of Egypt, so they thought, and their forgetfulness of what the Lord had done for them in bringing them out with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm, and the fact that the Lord was their portion, providing for them daily, undertaking for them each step of the way, yet that is forgotten. And the thought that strikes me about those Israelites in the wilderness is that they had become spiritually blind. How could they not be blind? They have the kind of longings that they had, and to forget the blessings that had come their way, they were blind. And so forgetfulness, which leads to blindness, becomes another cause for a loss of spiritual appetite. There's a text in John's Gospel, John chapter 9. We have in that chapter one of the most detailed accounts given of a miracle that Christ performed. It was the healing of a blind man. We have a number of accounts of blind men being healed, but in this case, John goes into greater detail than any other miracle, I think, in the New Testament. And you remember how this man was born blind. The Pharisees come and interrogate him. They are desperately searching for an explanation about this man. because they don't want to admit the ramifications to the miracle. This really must be the Messiah. Who else could perform a miracle of healing a man of his blindness? And they go to the man's parents, and then they come back to the man himself, desperately searching for a way to deny the obvious and what had taken place in the life of the blind man. And at the end of that chapter, in verse 39, this is John 9, we read, "And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth." I look at a statement like that, and the thing that should be most frightening about these verses in John 9 is that the Pharisees were blind even to their own blindness. What a frightful situation. You're blind, but you don't even know it. You're blind, but you think you see. And yet they didn't. So, blindness. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. And verse 17. Okay, this is the Lord's word to the last of the seven churches. This is the church at Laodicea. And look what he says, verse 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Here's another example of that very thing, blind to their own blindness. And I look at a statement like this, and I find it astonishing that a church could be so ignorant of their true, real spiritual condition and find themselves at such variance with the Lord as the Lord diagnoses their condition. They thought they were rich. They thought they were increased with goods. They thought they had need of nothing. Their blindness had led them to a sense of self-sufficiency. I'm okay. I don't need anything. And my, the Lord certainly saw it differently, didn't he? They were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. There is something, you know, we ought to seek the Lord for, especially in this matter of our spiritual appetite. And this leads to my second and final point. How do we regain this appetite if we do lose it? What do we need to do? Well, obviously, we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, please awaken me to my own blindness. Please help me to see the blind spots in my own life that maybe others can see that I refuse to see. Help me to see myself not through my own eyes or through the eyes of others for that matter. Help me, Lord, to see myself the way you see me, so that I may find a solution to this problem. And you'll notice what Christ says to this church then in Revelation 3 and verse 18. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see." I think what that really amounts to is a prayer for spiritual illumination with regard to our own condition. So again, I'll conclude with the same question that I asked at the beginning. How is your spiritual appetite? Do you find yourself longing for more of your Savior? If you're a Christian, you will. If you have no such longing, if you can't identify with the psalmist, you have need to examine your own heart as to what your condition is before God. But if you do find yourself, yeah, I can relate to the psalmist. I do have these longings. I've known communion, but I've also known the absence of communion, and I do have a desire for it to be restored. And what you need to do then in examining your life is identify the conditions that lead to that loss: spiritual laziness, increased appetite for other things, forgetfulness. And begin to seek the Lord again. Lord, give me this eye salve that will enable me to see myself for what I truly am in thine eyes. Seek the Lord again and anticipate, okay? This is a psalm of hope, back to Psalm 42. We focused a little while ago on Wednesdays on the doctrine of hope. And the psalmist here is anticipating that he will know communion with the Lord again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Oh, and we need to ask the questions and search seriously and ask the Lord to search our hearts and give us the answers, which may be among these things that I've elaborated: spiritual laziness, appetite for other things, forgetfulness. That's why you're cast down, O my soul. That's why you're disquieted in yourself. But note, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. This is an example, I believe, of a psalm of anticipated joy. I don't know that the psalmist at the time he was experiencing these things was in a state of joy, but he was anticipating that his hunger and his thirst would yet again be filled by the Lord. Verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. So, when you find your spiritual appetite has declined or is gone, identify the causes and seek the remedy from Christ and anticipate that he will indeed hear and answer prayer and that you will be satisfied and rejoicing again in due course. Well, let's close then in prayer. Let's all pray. O Lord, as we bow in thy presence and bring this meeting to a close, we thank you that in salvation, communion with our God is restored. We know we were created for it. We also know that man in his sin has lost it. We thank you that in salvation it is regained. But O Lord, even in salvation, there are times when thou dost withdraw, and we must admit that we lose our spiritual appetites. Forgive us, O Lord, of the causes. Forgive us for the laziness that leads to this. Forgive us of our increased appetite for things that really don't matter in the long run. And help us to remember and not be forgetful of our Savior and the blessings he's procured for us, and the high price he's paid to procure those blessings. So, Lord, satisfy us early, we pray, with thy presence, and may we indeed enjoy communion with thee the way we were meant to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.